14 years ago, Joan Gregory was lost in a shipwreck in the South Pacific Ocean. And 14 years her mother spent searching for her the world over. When Joan was found on the Magic Island, a strange place which the scientists living there have named Euclidea, it seemed that Mrs. Gregory's troubles were at an end. Now, however, we find that this is not the case, as the island of Euclidea contains so many powerful and unusual scientific devices and discoveries that it must be captured and its knowledge turned over to the world at large. Mrs. Gregory and Captain Bradford have decided to return to the island and take it over, using the captain's formula for the universal solvent as a weapon. Jerry and Joan are not to be taken along, and we'll see what Jerry and Joan think of that idea as we find them sitting on a bench on the corner of Hollywood and Vine in Hollywood.
Well, Joan, what do you think of it?
What do I think of what?
Oh, Hollywood.
It is very nice.
Is that all?
What did you expect me to say?
Oh, that it was swell and the greatest place you ever saw and all that kind of talk.
I could not well say that, Jerry.
Well, why not?
How could I compare Hollywood with other places when it is the only place, except for Euclidea, that I have ever seen?
Yeah, I guess that's right.
Of course it is right.
Well, even if you can't tell whether it's better than any other place, you know if you like it or not, don't you?
I have said I liked it very much.
Yeah, you sound like it.
Jerry, you are a very strange person.
Huh?
You expect everyone to become wildly enthusiastic about anything you show them. Perhaps I am not as greatly impressed as you would wish.
Well, you ought to be. Look at all the automobiles scooting around here. What about that? You didn't have any cars on Euclidea.
We had no need for them. However, if the Euclideans were in charge of these passageways...
Hey, wait a minute. These things are streets, not passageways.
Very well, streets. If the Euclideans were in charge of these streets, there would be some semblance of order maintained. The manner in which various vehicles dash around each other is very poorly controlled.
Okay. Nobody likes the traffic any better than you do. But nobody's been able to figure out how to handle it any other way.
I believe I could suggest a plan.
You could?
Certainly.
Well, if you can do that, you'll find the police will give you a medal.
That does not sound correct.
Why? What's wrong with that?
A moment ago, you showed me a police officer arresting a man.
Well, yeah, sure. They arrest you if you do something wrong, but they can be mighty nice to you if you do something right, too.
I wonder if I will ever understand this strange country.
This strange country? After living on that crazy island, you think this country is strange?
On Euclidea, everything was well-ordered, regular, and perfectly controlled. While here, everyone seems to be doing much as they please.
Well, why not? This is a free country.
But everything is so carelessly done.
What's wrong now?
That lunch we had.
Lunch? What was the matter with it?
We ate it without the slightest regard for what our previous meal had been. You made no attempt to note the quantity we consumed, and at least two of the ingredients of the meal duplicated items included in our breakfast this morning.
What's the difference how much we had or what it was? We had a good lunch, didn't we?
It was excellent.
Okay, then forget about what we had yesterday or what we're going to eat tomorrow. And you can forget all the rest of that sort of stuff you learned in that island, too.
Do you not consider my Euclidean training of value?
Oh, sure. When there's something scientific to be figured out, I guess you might come in handy. But when it comes to getting along with the rest of the folks around town, you won't do so good if you keep trying to fix everything you see the way they do it on the Magic Isle.
I'm merely trying to help.
Well, all right. But if you keep on telling everybody you meet how they ought to do things, you're going to help yourself to a lot of trouble.
What have I done that is so terrible?
Well, what did you say to that traffic cop?
Cop?
Well, officer, then. Well, what did you say to him?
I merely tried to explain to him that his method of procedure was quite wrong.
Yeah, that's all you did. Just told the cop how to run a street corner.
Jerry, you must admit there was logic in my contention. If the officer would sound his whistle before a motorist did something wrong, would it not be better than waiting until after the fault was committed?
Oh, sure, swell. But how are you going to know that a man will break a traffic rule until you see him do it?
If the whistle was sounded continuously as a warning to all motorists, there would be no violations of rules.
And how long do you suppose people would stand for a cop standing on a corner blowing a whistle all the time?
The people would not like it.
Of course they wouldn't like it. You can't make a racket like that in the middle of a street and keep it up.
Perhaps I do not fully understand how things must be done here.
You don't. And if you don't want to get in bed with everybody you meet, you'd better let things alone.
I'm sorry if you are angry with me, Jerry.
Oh, I'm not angry. I just don't like to see you being such a sap all the time.
A sap? What is a sap?
Oh, it doesn't matter. It's only slang, and you don't like slang.
No, I do not like slang. It is so much easier to express oneself in English.
But slang is English.
Slang is no language.
Oh.
It was originated and has been furthered and added to by people who are too lazy to learn the collection of expressive modifying words which would allow greater expression than the weirdest slang phrases.
All right, I'm lazy.
Agreed.
Well, just the same, I know how to get along in this country. And if you want to do what I do, you'll get along better.
I am willing to do as you tell me, Jerry.
Well, okay. Now, we're going to see a picture show. And while we're in there, you mustn't make a sound. Don't say a word while the show is on.
Is not the picture show merely the projection of images from a celluloid strip of sensitized materials known to you as film?
That's it. And you can hear them talk, too, just like the stage.
Jerry, I do not enjoy correcting your misleading statement. But motion pictures cannot be like the stage. The characters in the picture are not actually alive.
Look, I don't mean to start a war over this. I just told you not to talk in the show.
But, Jerry, what will be the harm if I do speak in the show?
Well, people around you won't like it. They pay their money to listen to the actors. And if you've got any questions to answer them, well, wait till the show's over.
Very well.
Say, what's that extra about?
What is an extra?
Well, something special in the paper. Big news of some kind.
News of what?
Well, how do I know till I see the paper? Hey, didn't he say something about two submarines?
Jerry, those two Euclidean submarines.
Yeah, I'm afraid so. Hey, extra, extra. Come over here, will you?
Coming right up, buddy. Read all about it. They're fishing up submarines in our harbor now. There you are.
Thanks.
What does it say, Jerry?
Well, they found them all right.
May I see the paper?
Oh, sure, take a look.
Two strange submarines believed to be anchored in outer channel.
Yes, sir. That's them. They found them, all right.
I am not sure. It says believed to be.
Well, pretty soon that means for sure. We know they're out there, and everybody else will know it soon.
But, Jerry, how could they see those two submarines in 6 fathoms of water?
How do you know they were in 6 fathoms of water?
That is how we left them.
Oh, sure. And that was the night before last at midnight.
Of course, it is possible that the submarine which was following us has been released from the magnetic bombs I placed near it.
Well, I'd say it was pretty sure they'd been free before this.
Then that submarine would not be found by anyone.
Why not?
The commander would either return to Euclidea, or if G-47 ordered the vessel to aid Thales in his work locally, they would remain well hidden.
Maybe you're right about that. But how about the submarine we were in?
That would remain perfectly stationary in the position at which we stabilized it.
Well, that's your idea of it. Now, here's mine. This paper says two strange submarines were seen in the outer channel, and they don't get out extras about things like that unless they're pretty sure what they're talking about.
But two submarines could not have been seen.
But two submarines were seen.
Can you explain how that could be possible?
I think I can. Now, listen to this. That submarine that was following us might have had to come up to the surface for a supply of air. And if they had to use all their air getting out of the spot we left them in, that right?
Such a thing is barely possible, though not probable.
Well, anything is probably possible with a problem. Oh, well, anything can happen where those Euclideans are concerned.
Granted.
Then if they had to pick up that outer sub, the one we escaped from, and if they were towing it with their electromagnets, wouldn't they bring their tow to the surface when they came up?
Jerry, you may be right.
Oh, sure I'm right.
But why would the Euclideans do such a foolish thing as to come to the surface in the daylight?
Maybe they were having so much trouble with their boats that they didn't have any chance to stay underwater. Anyhow, they've been seen, and we'd better get right over to your mother's house and tell her and the captain.
But we were going to a moving picture show.
Well, golly whiskers, a picture show. Here, we've got the whole country excited over a couple of Euclidean submarines in the Los Angeles harbor, and you want to go to a picture show.
I have seen many Euclidean submarines, and never have I seen one of your moving pictures.
Well, you can see one some other time. We're going to your mother's and tell them all about this.
Will these extras, as you call them, not be available at Mother's house?
Well, not as quickly as we get them here at the corner of Hollywood and Vine. So I'll bet Johnson has heard it over the radio.
I beg your pardon, young man.
Oh, did you speak to me, sir?
Yes, I'm sorry to bother you, but as you can see, I am blind.
Yeah.
I wonder if you would do something for me.
Well, I haven't got very much, mister, but...
No, not that. I am not begging. That is, not begging for money. All I ask from you is a little information.
Oh, sure. What do you want to know?
I believe I heard a paper boy crying an extra.
Uh-huh, yeah. He's just up the street a little ways.
Perhaps you could call him for this gentleman, Jerry.
Well, I can try whistling.
No, young man. That would do no good. I could not read the paper after you secured it for me.
Oh, that's right.
I thought you might be willing to read me a few lines from your paper. Just the headlines, or tell me something of what the news is.
We can do that easily.
Oh, sure. It says they found two strange-looking submarines in the Catalina Island Channel.
Two strange submarines? From what country?
Well, that's what makes them so strange. They're not like any subs owned by any country in the world.
And what further news of them?
Well, that's all. Maybe there'll be more out later.
Quite possibly. Thank you, young man. And you, young lady, perhaps I may help you when we meet again.
Say, there was something funny about that guy.
Yes, Jerry. That man will be very dangerous to us.
Well, how do you know?
He was not blind.
Not blind?
No, I was watching his eyes as I stood where I could see behind those glasses he wore. He was reading every word on the front page of your newspaper while you talked to him. And I have seen those eyes before this.
You what?
I have seen those eyes on the island of Euclidea. That man is Thales.
Thales? The Euclidean scientist who put Johnson's radio out of commission?
Same. Thales is watching us.
Oh, gee whiz. We'd better beat her right home and tell the captain your mother. Oh, why'd I let him walk away?
You could not be expected to know him. You only heard his voice over the radio, and he was carefully disguising it then.